Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the subject this morning is numbering our days. Well, we turn to these words in Psalm 90, and this is a verse that is a very poignant verse, a verse that is very often read out or preached on at funerals, and perhaps some of you may have heard me preach this verse at a funeral that I have taken in the past. But seeing as the nation is very much in mourning over the loss of a monarch, and the minds of many people will be anticipating the funeral that will be coming a week on Monday, I thought it would be a fitting time to point you to this verse and everything that this verse speaks of, because this verse speaks, of course, of matters of life and death. And this is a psalm, of course, Psalm 90, not a psalm written by David, as are so many of the psalms written by King David. This is the only psalm that has the name of Moses attached to it. And of course, many of you will know who Moses is. Moses of the Old Testament lived just under 1400 years before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God used Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery, out of captivity in Egypt. Moses was sent by God to lead them out of the clutches of Pharaoh, and Moses was greatly used of God in many ways. Moses was given the law of God, the Ten Commandments. When the Ten Commandments were given upon Mount Sinai, it was Moses who received them. He was a great man. But great as Moses was, well, this prayer of Moses is so humble. And in verse 12, well, he's asking the Lord to teach him something. So teach us to number our days. And that shows the humility of Moses, that he was teachable. And that is a great attribute that we all need to have, whoever we are, however great our status. Some people come particularly into churches and they are not teachable. They think that they know everything already about life, about the world. So they're not willing to hear anything or be instructed. They're not willing to receive any counsel at all. And that's very sad. That's very foolish when people are not teachable. There's nobody in the world who knows everything. It's always very wise to be teachable. And well, may the Lord help us even this day to have that attitude, the attitude of a wise man, the attitude of Moses here, that we may be taught something. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Well, what is Moses asking here? Teach us to number our days, to number the days of our lives, in other words. Moses is saying, Lord, help us to be aware, to be mindful of our mortality. That is what he's saying. Teach us to number our days. Now, this, of course, is not something that we like to do. We don't like to remember our mortality, to remember that we do not live forever. That's an uncomfortable thought. We don't like thinking about that. For many people, that's a depressing thought. Why do I have to think about my mortality, about the fact that I will die one day? This is something that we'd rather forget. We'd rather forget about our mortality and about the length of our days. But the scriptures are not ashamed of pointing this out, because it's the truth. Of course it is. It's an unavoidable fact that we do not live forever, that we only live for a certain time. And that time is actually quite short. In verse 10, we have those famous words, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And for those of us who don't know what that means, well, that means 70 years. 70. A score is 20, and 70 is 20 times 3 multiplied by 3, which means 60. And then you add 10 to it, 70 years and 10, that's 70 years. And Moses is presenting that as the average human lifespan. That, generally speaking, is how long a human being lives. And it's quite accurate. If you were to Google the global average life expectancy, it's around 70 years, 72.6 to be exact, if you Google it. But this, well, this was recorded many years ago, many years before Google. "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. God had it right. These are the days of our years, the average lifespan. And that is not a long time. 70 odd years, that's not a long time. We may think it's a long time, but it's not. And the illustration I often give is if you went into a museum and you saw something that was only 70 years old, you wouldn't really be very impressed. If you go to a museum, you want to see something that's hundreds of years old, perhaps even thousands of years old. That's what a museum is there for. If you go to see something that's only 70 or 80 years old, that's not very long. But that's the length of our lives. That's the time span for each and every one of us. It is a relatively short span of time. And Moses, well, there's so many things we could point out in this psalm. I'm only going to bring out a few things. But one of the things that Moses says is that, well, that time goes so quickly. Not only is it a short span of time, but it goes so quickly. Verses 4 and 5 communicate this to us. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood." Our days pass away so quickly. It's like you're in a flood. If a flood comes into a house or into a city, it carries away something so quickly. You can't even see it, what is being carried away. That's like our lives in the grand scheme of things. Elsewhere in the New Testament, in the letter of James, we read that our lives are like a vapor, a breath. You know, on a cold day when you breathe out and you see your breath, but it's not for very long. You see your breath just for a split second and then it's gone. That's like your life. Set against the whole of eternity, your life is just like a breath of cold air. And this is very sobering. This is our lives in the grand scheme of things. And of course, it's very true, and a very sad fact of life, that many people do not live to be 70 or 80. Some die earlier. Some die in their 60s or in their 50s. Some die in their 20s. Some die as teenagers, children. Some even die in the womb. So not all of us are even going to get to 70 or 80 years. The truth is, we simply do not know how long we will live. Notice in verse 12 that Moses says, "So teach us to number our days." To number our days, not our weeks, not our months, not our years, because ultimately we live day by day. Day by day, that's how uncertain life is. When we wake up each day, there is no guarantee that we will still be alive by the end of the day. We have to live day by day. We don't live week by week. We don't live month by month. Day by day. And this is, again, a very solemn fact, because really the teaching of this is that every day could be your last. That's really what this verse is saying. Teach us to number our days, because every day could be your last day on this earth. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we have this attitude? Do we live in this way? One of the great exhortations or the great implications of this psalm, therefore, is not to waste your life. Not to waste your life. If your life is so short, if it is so fleeting, if it's only 70 years, well, then you mustn't waste your life. Of course not. That's the great lesson. How do we waste our lives? What does it look like to waste your life? Well, the Bible teaches us a very important lesson. To waste your life, it means to live in sin. To live in sin. That's a waste of your life. Now, I'm going to talk about sin a little bit more a little later on. But when we think of what sin is, and we often say this, it's not just the things that we do. It's the way that we are. It's our state of separation from God. That's what sin is. And this, sadly, is our natural state. When we are born, we are not born right with God. We're not born one with God. We are born separated from God. We're in a state of sin. We are born rebels against God. We have a rebellious nature. We don't want God in our lives. We don't want to obey God and follow God and do His will. That's just our nature as human beings. And that state, to live in that state, is a waste of your life. It's a waste of what God has given you in this life. We reject God. We live for this world. The ambitions of this world, material possessions and gains, the joys of this world. So many people in this world are like that. They've rejected God and they live just for this world. That's a waste of your life, says the scripture, says Moses. In order for your life to be profitable, you must seek God. That's the only way that your life can be blessed and can be a purposeful life. Seek God. And well, the great reason that we have to seek God, if we want our lives to be saved, well, we must seek Him. If we want our lives to be more than just 70 years and then we die, we must seek God, because God is the only way to everlasting life. We are not the way to everlasting life. As I've just explained several times, 70 years and we die. The only way to everlasting life, to true life, is God. And Moses speaks about God here in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is the one who has created this earth, this world. And He's from everlasting to everlasting. You see the contrast that is given here? Man, 70 years, and then he's dead. But God, from everlasting to everlasting. That's the great contrast. And well, the only way to have everlasting life is through Him. The only way to know eternal life is through Him. God is eternal life. In fact, you could say that God is eternity itself. Have you ever thought about that? We speak a lot about eternity, but you know, there would not be an eternity if there were no God. God is eternity. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And so we must seek Him if we are to know that glorious hereafter. And this is the teaching of this psalm. The essential teaching of this psalm is you must be wise. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is the wise way to live your life? The wise way is to seek God. That's the point of your life. That's the point of this short life. It's to urge you to seek more life. The point of this temporary life is so that you may seek eternal life. That's the whole point. That's the wise thing to do. A foolish person, they will make no preparation for eternity. A foolish person will just think to themselves, I'll live just for this world. Even though I'm only going to be here 70 years, I'll reject God, I'll live just for my material possessions and material gain, and then, well, then we're cast into eternity, and they've made no preparations at all. That's very foolish. But this life is short to teach us that we must prepare for eternity. And this is what Moses is saying here. You must seek God. But there is one thing specifically that we must seek God for, and that is mercy. In verse 14, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We must seek the mercy of the Lord. Now, at the remembrance service for the Queen on Friday evening at St. Paul's Cathedral, for those of you who saw it, I was quite as surprised that the scripture reading that was given by the new Prime Minister was from Romans 14, because it is a very challenging portion of scripture. That portion of scripture, you may recall, talks about judgment. Romans 14 speaks about how we must all stand before God in judgment. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That was the reading. And the Queen herself had in the past spoken about her sense of personal accountability to God. And dear friends, that's the same for every single one of us. We are personally accountable to the Lord. At the end of our short lives, we must stand before God. And do we think about that? This is wise. This is applying our hearts to wisdom. Not just burying yourself in the things of this world. Remember that one day you must stand before God. What will it be like for me? We have sin in our lives, every single one of us. I've spoken about that. But have you ever numbered your sins? We don't like to number our days. We don't like to number our sins either. If you were to count the number of sins that you committed in one day, how many would there be? I'm sure you would surprise yourself. The number of times you lie, the number of times you covet, the number of times you look at somebody with lust, the things that you look at that you shouldn't look at, the things that you say that you shouldn't say, the number of times you swear. If you were to number all of those things, how much would it be? The reason we don't like to number our sins is because it would be so depressing. In Psalm 40, we read of somebody who is in despair because he realizes that his sins are more than the number of the hairs on his head. That would be like us if we numbered all of our sins. And we have to stand before God one day. We read that the Lord, in verse 8, he counts all of our sins. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance, our secret sins, those things that nobody knows about. Maybe only you know about them. God sees them, and he will bring them to your account. And secret sins, well, secret sins also means those things that we do, we don't even think they're sins, but they are sins. So many people in this world, they are so proud. They have fierce pride and they put themselves above everybody else and they don't think that's a sin, but that is a sin. So many people, as I've just said, they covet. They just buy as much as they can. They're greedy for material gain. They don't think that's a sin. It is a sin. They will all be held accountable for these things. But dear friends, God promises us mercy. How do we respond when we hear this message? Do we get offended? I'm so offended by this Christian message. It just tells me I'm a sinner. Dear friends, you could do that if you wanted to, but that's not very wise. That would be a very foolish way to respond to this message. The wise way is to seek forgiveness from God. Acknowledge your sin. Know that it is true. Yes, I have sinned against God. I must come before you. I must seek forgiveness for all of my sin. And there is forgiveness with God. We read in Romans 8 at the very end of that chapter that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. He wants to give us eternal life, but it's through somebody. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is it only through him? Why is eternal life only through the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he is the only way. The only way we can go, the only one who has taken away all our sins, who has dealt with our sins. We cannot go into eternity with our sins. Sin is only temporary. Sin is only for this world. Eternity is for righteousness, eternal life, holiness, righteousness. Those things will endure. Sin will only have a short little day in this world, just the history of this world, and then it will be gone. You cannot enter into eternal life and be with God with sin in you. You must have your sin removed from you. And it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who has done this. Christ, when he came, when he went to the cross, all of our sins were placed upon him. He took the punishment for us. He suffered and died in our place instead of us. We have sinned, yes, but when we believe in Christ, all of our sins are placed on him. Father, punish me instead of them. I will take their punishment because I love them. I will die for them so that they may be saved, so that they may be shown mercy. I will take the wrath of God. I will be forsaken of God so that they may be forgiven by God. And that's why it's the only way, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no other way. There is no other promise. Search the other religions. There is no other promise of certain eternal life. No other promise that your sins, all of your sins, will be removed from you. It's only through Christ. And this is so very important. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? There is plenteous mercy with him. It's not limited mercy. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Remember that? And that speaks too of his love. That speaks of his grace. That speaks of his mercy. So that means that anyone can come to God. No matter how bad your sins are, you can come to God because his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no sin that is too great that cannot be covered by the grace and the mercy of God. It's everlasting. It's not limited. It's not just for a certain time. The mercy of God will ensure that you will be with God forevermore. That is the great and glorious hope that we have when we trust in the Lord. So these words are so very relevant for us, this time in the history of our nation, but in every time, every day when we live, we must ask the Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Dear friends, if you do this, if you turn to the Lord, if you repent and have faith, your life, even on this earth, will be so much different, so much better Just as we close in verse 10, I read part of it. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. Well, Moses is saying, yes, 70 years is the average age, but sometimes people live to an older age. Sometimes people get to 80. Our queen got to 96. But he says, even if you get to that age, your strength is labor and sorrow. And of course it is. Certainly without Christ, the older you get, the harder life becomes. Your body doesn't work so well. Your mind doesn't work so well. Everything is a battle. Everything is a labor. And there's sorrow. There are so many regrets in your life. So many regrets over things that you did. So many regrets over the sins that you have committed. And you can't do anything about them now. So this is your life without God. You can live to a grand old age, and yet your days will be labor and sorrow. But how different it is for somebody who trusts in Christ. The older you get, there may be some labor, but there's certainly no sorrow. Every day that you live, you get closer to the Lord. There's only anticipation. Anticipation, when I die, I go to be with God in a heavenly place, in a place that is far better than this world. And there's no sorrow over past sin because you know all your sins are done away with. Christ has covered all of those sins. There's no labor and sorrow for those who trust in Christ. We have great anticipation. We have great joy. And we don't care how fast our lives pass us by, because every day brings us closer to the Lord. Dear friends, why would you not come? Why would you not come to Christ and choose him? Are you really realistically thinking that I'm going to choose instead just 70 years, 80 years maximum, and then die? That's your choice for your own life. Or are you going to choose Christ, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who has known no beginning and shall know no end? Choose him. It is an easy choice to make, but you must seek the help of the Lord. Lord, teach me to number my days and help me to apply my heart unto wisdom, to choose him, to make that wise choice, and to live forever in eternal peace and joy. These are the words presented to us, words for life and for eternity. May the Lord bless these things to us.